Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to know how much this ministry is touching your life. Please take a moment and email us your story at stories@transformationchurch.net. Also, if you would like to help support this ministry financially, you can do so by visiting us at transformationchurch.net, clicking on the Giving tab, and choosing the giving option that best works for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Before I jump into today's message, let me encourage everyone that's watching. You always work on these opening lines, and I always mess them up. If you are washing at home, let me encourage you to watch from home as well and hit the share button. And if you're in-house, in person, physically with us, I'll give you a moment to sneak over to your phone, open it up, and hit the share button or check in. This is your best way to connect your friends to Transformation Church. And this I know, your friends need to hear this message today. Yes? They need to hear it. So make sure you share it, invite your friends, let everyone know that I'm just about to begin. And before I do that and dive in, give you a chance to do that, I want to just encourage you to sign up for TC groups or TC classes. They start this week. You should have received the handout on the way in. If you didn't, slip up your hand. All right, I'm gonna ask the host team to run around, and if they can distribute those handouts to those that are raising their hands. They're going to do that in just a moment. Let me encourage you. First of all, I just want to say how proud I am of Pastor Glenn, because he's doing an amazing job at the church. I don't know if you know that. He's only been with us 2 months. Him and Pastor Adi, they're learning the ropes as they go, but he put together a really great semester of TC groups and TC classes. If you're watching online, they're going to put the address on the chat there. They're going to put the TC group link. And there's classes and groups for everyone. We have next step classes, which is new. We have a class for step one, step two. So step one is to become a follower of Jesus. If you don't even know what that's about, take step one. There's a class on baptism. There's a growth track. There's growth. Is my phone on? I think my phone's on. I don't know. Check and see if it's on. There's growth track. There's emotionally healthy spirituality. Then there's transform groups. We have grief share. We have celebrate recovery. We have how to overcome anxiety and COVID. And we have the book of Philippians, the book of Galatians. It's amazing that all we have in person, and there are about half a dozen that are also online. Cool? Virtual Zoom groups. What's really exciting is that we are recognizing that we have an online community and an online campus. You do not have to attend TC physically to be a part of TC. You can take a virtual small group and be a part of our church. I spoke to a lady this past week who's living out of the country, and she's excited to remain part of TC and be a part of our church, take a small group. So wherever you're at, I know people are watching all over the country, some around the world, be a part of TC by joining a small group, taking a class, watching us online. Really excited to have all of you today. When I grew up, I heard this phrase, maybe you did. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. How many wish that was true? I wish it was. Truth is, words hurt, don't they? Words have the power to tear down. Words have the power to lift up. The Bible talks about the tongue being the most powerful organ in our body. It has the power to set a forest on fire. Words hurt. And this is the thing, though, about words. If we allow them to go into our hearts and wound us, it could actually cripple us from becoming all that God wants us to become. Because we can easily become offended by the words that people speak over our lives or to us. And I believe God wants us to be unoffendable. And by the way, we ran out of these T-shirts. We have, I forget the name of it. What's the name of their purposeful creations? They'll be in the back taking orders if you want a hoodie or a T-shirt, unoffendable, or a mask. So just right after service, go back into the lobby and they'll take your order. Because I really believe God wants us to become unoffendable. And your ability to overlook an offense, cover an offense, that's what we've been talking about the past few weeks. You need to overlook it, cover it, pray through it, release it, forgive. Your ability to do that will determine your happiness, will determine your peace, your contentment, because many of you are still stewing over offenses that you experienced years ago. It's eating you alive, and that's the bait that the enemy uses, is offense, to keep you trapped and keep you from moving into your divine destiny. God has a purpose, God has a plan, God has a destiny for your life. And God doesn't use people to do great things if they're stuck in offense. Let me tell you who gets used, or let me tell you who uses you when you're stuck in offense, and that's the enemy. Without realizing it, we can be trapped by the enemy and held captive to do his will because we have taken offense at something or someone. And Jesus said that it is impossible that offenses don't come. That's been our foundational verse, Luke 17:1. And that word offenses in the original writing, it was Greek. It means scandalon, which it talks about being a trap. And in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, one of the psalmists wrote that the enemy is called the trapper of the fowler, or the snares fowler. In other words, he's the trapper of birds, or he's a trapper. And the enemy will want to use things to trap you, or offenses to trap you, and to cause there to be friction or distance in the relationships that were meant to be a blessing in your life. And if we're not careful and we don't see offenses as a choice, we will choose to become offended, and then that offense can push you away from people that you love, push you away from marriages and relationships and families and workplaces and even in the church. Yes, there's offense in the church. And if you're new to our church, I love you. I'm so happy you're here. But we are not a perfect church. And it's not a matter of if offense will come. It's a matter of when it will come. Because that's what Jesus said. It's impossible for there to be a church that doesn't have offense. It's impossible to live a life that offenses don't come. But your response to that offense determines your happiness, your peace, whether you're going to live healthy, whether you're going to live strong, whether you're going to move forward in God's plan, whether you're going to be able to be promoted to the positions that God has for you. God doesn't promote offended people. Let me say it again. God doesn't promote offended people. Offended people are stuck until they learn how to work through that offense and how to release it to God and how to become unoffendable. So when offenses come, here's the question. What are you going to do? What's going to be our response? Now, we can choose to get angry, bitter, and upset. Now, first of all, let me tell you that when words are spoken that are hurtful, we will get angry. And I'm not telling you don't get angry. I'm not telling you don't be upset. I'm not telling you not to ignore your feelings. What I am telling you is that if you're going to be unoffendable, you have to forfeit your right to hold on to that anger. You have to forfeit your right, because as a follower of Jesus, we do not have a right to become offended. We don't have a right to be. We forfeit our right to become offended when we become unoffendable, because Jesus is our example, and Jesus lived an unoffendable life. Think about who offended him. You may read the Bible or look at some stories and say, wow, that person offended him. Like, what about Judas? Judas betrayed him, that he offended him, right? What about Peter? That would be offensive to me. Peter denied Jesus. Like, you deny me, bro? Like, what's up? You deny me? You're not speaking up for me? I'm going to cut you off, right? I'm going to ghost you, right? I'm going to ghost you. Ghost. How many people have you ghosted, right? How many people have you blocked? How many people have you unfriended? How many people have you defriended? How many people? Yeah, we all do. And Jesus had multiple people offend him, including you, including me. We offended him. You say, but what did I do, Pastor? I just came to church today. He should be happy with me. You know how we offended God? With our sin. Our sin was an offense to God, but God didn't hold our sins against us. I just felt that. Woo! God didn't hold that sin against us. He forgave us. And he chose to love us. And the scripture says, even while we were sinners, he still came. He still died. He still gave his life. He didn't allow that offense to stop him from loving us. He continued to love us in spite of who we were and who we are and what we did. So I don't know where you are at in your spiritual journey. I just want to encourage you that God loves you and he cannot stop loving you. There's nothing you can do that can stop God from loving you. But what are we going to do when those offenses come? Are we going to retaliate? Are we going to overreact? Are we going to hurt back? This is where we get the phrase, hurt people, right? Are we going to hurt? Are we going to take vengeance? Are we going to throw rocks back? Are we going to post all these vile things about people, untrue things about people? Or they might be even true. Are we going to send text messages? Are we going to drink the haterade and just hate people? Or are we going to do what God wants us to do, and that is overlook, forgive, love. And if we have to, go to that person and seek reconciliation. Because God has not given us a ministry of cancellation. He's given us a ministry of reconciliation. We don't just cancel people. It's not what God wants. You can't cancel somebody because you don't like them. You just can't cancel people because they offended you. You got to seek reconciliation. You got to seek to be restored, because you can't love God without loving people. You can't say, I love God and hate my brother. You can't. You can't, because we are his body. You can't say, I love the head, but I hate the body. Isn't that true? Can't hate the body. Got to love the head and the body. The head's connected to the body. We are the body of who? Christ. Therefore, how we treat each other is connects to how we treat God. We've got to treat each other with love and respect. And when we are hurt, what do we do? Well, we're going to learn what we do. We've been learning what we do, but I have a really unique story in the Bible that we're going to dig into in 2 Samuel chapter 10 that's going to kind of illustrate what we do when offenses come our way. Well, in 2 Samuel 10, David was the king of Israel. King David, one of the greatest kings in the Old Testament. And one of his old friends, King Nahash, had died. He was a good friend because he was very kind to David. Really good friend. David wanted to show honor and kindness and express his condolences. So David sent representatives to Ammon to honor the king that had died. Now his son, what's his name? His son was who? Hanun. His son Hanun had taken the throne. So because Nahash was so kind to him, he said, let me send two representatives, sort of like what we do in the United States when another king or another president passes away. We send representatives to that country to show honor and respect. So David sends representatives just to show kindness, honor, respect, to wish their condolences. But someone got into the young king's mind and ear and said, they're not coming here to show you honor. They're coming here to measure you out. They're coming here to check out what's happening, to measure the walls, because they want to now take over, right? And they listened, the king listened to what these people were speaking to their minds and to his heart. So when the two representatives came to meet King Hanun, the king told them off and began to falsely accuse them of being spies. Now, these representatives were doing exactly what the king wanted them to do. They were going to show honor. But even though they were doing what the king wanted him to do, they were still falsely accused. Have you ever been falsely accused, even though you were doing nothing wrong? Isn't that the worst feeling in the world? You're trying to live your life right. You're trying to honor people. You're trying to serve people. You're trying to do things right, and you're still falsely accused of doing something wrong when you haven't done anything wrong. You're just doing what God wants you to do. Happened to me a few years ago. Y'all want to hear what happened? Well, I'm going to get a little bit personal, but a few years ago, many years ago, I had a staff member on our team that suddenly resigned, and I was quite confused why the staff member resigned. But I later found out that that same staff member began accusing me, falsely accusing me, of being an alcoholic. You believe that? That's what I said. I said, what? I actually say, oh, no, she didn't. That's what I, oh, no. That, now, that accusation, and I kind of didn't know if I should share it or not, but I think you'll like how the end of the story goes. But for me, I'm a man, I believe I'm a man of character. I'm a man of values. I'm a man of my word. There's nothing hidden in my life. My wife has all my passwords. She can get into my phone. Matter of fact, she does sometimes, not to check up on me, but she just wants to know what's going on, you know, who's texting me, and not in a bad way, but she has access to my computer. You know, my finances are an open book. The church finances are an, everything. That's, I value character and integrity. And when that's attacked, that wounds me deeply. And I began to question, like, why would she say that? And I was told, now she reported me, and I was being approached about this because the person didn't know if this was true. And she said that my eyes were red all the time. Well, first thing is I have dry eye syndrome. And when I'm sitting in front of a computer, now I'm not trying to defend myself, I'm just trying to explain, like, what's going on. I have dry eye syndrome. I take Refresh drops. You ever seen those Refresh? Because I have allergies too. And the dry, and always sometimes my eyes get dry. Anybody have that same problem? Dry eye syndrome, right? Wear glasses. And but then the second thing puzzled me because she says, I always smell like a brewery. Now, one thing you don't know about me is that I don't drink. I mean, I get a buzz from NyQuil. That's about, like, I drink NyQuil, I'm good for like a few days. I mean, I don't drink wine, I don't drink alcohol, I don't drink soda, I don't drink iced tea, I just drink water and coffee, right? And I was confused, but anyway, I had a choice. How am I going to respond to this situation? I'll be honest, I wanted to take vengeance. I wanted to take matters into my own hands, but I chose not to. I chose to trust God. Well, just to fast forward to a few months later, somebody else came up to me and said, Pastor, you smell like a brewery. Have you been drinking? And I'm like, wait a second, what? I said, what are you talking about? I don't drink. And then I looked down at my hands. I looked at her or him. I looked at him. I said, it's the hand sanitizer. I have this routine that every time I go to the bathroom, upstairs by my office, I hit the pump, and I always do this. And then when I'm at the front doors, there's a pump on the wall, and I'm always pumping. You know, that was pre-COVID, right? Because I'm shaking all these people's hands because I have a mind. I'm always shaking hands, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. They think I'm a drunk, and it's Purell. And the reason why I say this is because last week I had another staff member and says, have you been drinking, Pastor? But this time I was. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't drink, promise. Lord Jesus, I don't drink. I promise. I'm just kidding. But the joke was funny. But I'm like, are you kidding me? But it was true what the person thought. And it was hand sanitizer. Isn't that crazy? And sometimes you want to retaliate and take vengeance and sometimes you just got to leave it into God's hands. Sometimes you're going to be falsely accused, and you have a choice. Am I going to choose to be offended, or am I going to choose to trust God in the offense, release, cover, forgive, let go? So here in the story, going back to the story, they're falsely accused of being spies. So the king said, shave off half their beard. Now, their beard was a symbol of honor, respect, rank. They shaved half the beard. And then the king cut the back of the robe so their backside was showing. You could laugh. It's funny. It is. They just cut it off, and it brought them great shame. Great shame. And he sent them back in that condition. Now, these are high-ranking people. Going back to David, they send a message to David, and they share what happened. Imagine these men just following instructions, falsely accused, shamed. Isn't that what offense sometimes can do to you? Like the accusations bring shame and wound you and affect you physically. So there they are. They're walking back. David hears, and he says, don't come back to Jerusalem because I don't want everyone to see your shame. Isn't that beautiful? I want you to go to Jericho and stay in Jericho and wait there. They'll take care of you there. And wait for your beard to grow back. Now, Jericho is very symbolic because you know what Jericho means? Jericho means the place of fragrance. It's a sweet place. What David was saying to them is, go to Jericho, the place of fragrance. Go to the sweet place. Stay sweet. What do you do when you've been offended? You stay sweet. What do you do when life gets sour? What do you do when life gets bitter? Stay sweet. Go to the sweet place. And in the sweet place, your beard will grow back. And in a sweet place, your king will repair your robe. In that sweet place, you're going to find healing. You're going to find restoration. As a matter of fact, some of you are already going towards that place. And I really believe that. And the beautiful thing about this story is that their beard started growing back as they were journeying back to Jerusalem. You see, they were just words. And David's like, you know what? Just go to that sweet place. And I just want to encourage you, if you've been hurt or if you've been offended or if when offenses come, don't pick up the offense. Don't retaliate. Don't take revenge. But stay sweet. Go to that sweet place with God. Rest in his presence. Rest in Jerusalem. And wait there until the king says you're ready to come out. Wait there until you find healing. Wait there until your beard has grown back. Look at the person next to you and tell them, your beard is growing back. Come on now. Sorry, ladies. I didn't mean that to be offensive. Okay? Offensive. I am offended, Pastor. I'm so sorry. But stay at that sweet place. And you're saying, well, Pastor, that's not fair. Then what happens to those people? Well, when David did not just ignore the offense, the king now took matters into his own hands. And while his servants were in the sweet place, David ordered his army to get ready. Because it was payback time. And while the servants are in Jerusalem, listen now, David and his army wiped Ammon out. You see, when you stay sweet and when you stay at the sweet place, then you allow God to take his place over your life. And you allow God to repay those who have hurt you. Listen, God knows everyone who's mistreated you. God knows every negative word that has been spoken over your life. God keeps track of every false accusation that is spoken against his children. And you know what he says? Vengeance is mine, says God. Look at Romans 12:19. He says, beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, what does it say? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. God will repay those who falsely accuse you, those who attack you, those who offend you. You don't have to worry about taking vengeance into your own hands. You see, in all of Scripture, God says there are two things that are his. And those two things we tend to want to hold on to. First of all, God says that the tithe is his. That's what he says. He says, don't touch the tithe. It belongs to me, but we just want to hold on to the tithe. The second thing he talks about is vengeance. He says, vengeance is mine. It's not yours. What do we want to do? We often want to take matters into our own hands and repay those who have hurt us. And God says, no, stay sweet. Let me do the battling. Hold your peace. I will fight your battles. You don't have to defend your reputation. I'll defend your reputation. You don't have to worry about promotion. I'll promote you. As a matter of fact, the psalmist says, not only will he promote you, he will promote you in the presence of your enemies. He will promote you before others. Those same people that spoke negative against you, God will lift up a standard against those people. God will promote you. God will elevate you. God will put you in places. And you know what? They can talk all they want, but sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will sometimes hurt me. Stay in that sweet place. And if we stay sweet, our King will repay, and our King will take out his vengeance against our offenders. You know, God is our ultimate avenger. He stands with us. He protects us. He guards us. He defends us. There's so many times in my life that I want to defend myself. I want to take matters into my own hands. I want to spew out hatred in the same way. But God says, stay sweet. Trust me. Release that offense. Overlook it. Ignore it. Forgive. Now, I'm not saying seek justice. I mean, there is an element that's very important that we do at times need to seek justice. I'm talking about offenses. Now, offenses are those smaller things that happen in our lives that annoy us, upset us, get us angry, get us upset. And there are times that offense may require us to go to an offender and talk to them about how they made you feel. But you never go to that offender. Okay, listen to me carefully now. Just because someone offended you doesn't give you the right to go out and point out their offense. Okay? Because if you say you offended me by what you said, you're already wrong. Come on. Did you get that? Or is it like, whoop? Okay. You go to that person and say, what you said offended me, you're already wrong because you had no right to get offended in the first place. But if you go to a person and say, I am sorry because what you said offended me and it caused me to pull back from our relationship and look at you differently. And it caused me to wish ill on your life or against you. And it caused me to not like you. And I wasn't able to have a relationship with you because I became offended. And I recognize I shouldn't have. So will you forgive me? What? What? Come on. That's. Have y'all ever been taught that? No, we were never taught that. And I grew up in New York City. We weren't taught that. I said, when you got offended, cut them. That's how we were taught. You cut them. You just like, you know. Now, if they cut you first, you got to cut them. But no, I'm just saying, that's another story, another sermon for another day. But what I mean is, that's not how we're taught. We have to be like Jesus. And excuse me if I get emotional, but when Jesus hung on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's the attitude we need to have with people. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Man, I'm almost out of time, and I have a lot more to go. Can you guys hang for a few more moments? As we wrap up, I want to give you some pointers on how to become unoffendable. I'll go quickly. Take your phones out. Take pictures. Maybe you can tap them, type them in the chat. Number one, quick tips on how to stay unoffendable. Number one, recognize that we have a large capacity to offend. How many know that if we're going to be like Jesus, Jesus forgave us even while we were still sinners? We offended God, and you say, how did I offend God? I'm in church today. Maybe you're new. You just come and you're like, how do I offend God? I just came. No, we offend God with our sin. But even while we were still sinners, Christ loved us. And it's so easy to point out the offenses in other people, the things that other people do, that we miss the very offenses that we have perpetrated in people's lives. Look at what Matthew says. Jesus says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and you pay no attention to the plank in yours? In other words, all of us here have big old planks sticking out of our eyes, and we're going around pointing at the sawdust. Oh, they cut me off. Oh, they didn't respond to my text. Oh, they said this to me. They said that to me. They did this. They did that. We're pointing out the sawdust, and we have, like, when we recognize that we are offenders, then we recognize that we are also have a large capacity to offend, then we give grace when those who offend us. One of the core values of our church is grace. We want to extend grace to people. We're all human. We're all vulnerable to offend people. I offend, you offend. Okay? Number two, make allowance for each other's faults. Really quick. What does make allowance mean? Give margin. Provide leeway. Leave a gap. Create space. We're all going to mess up. We're all going to fail. Right? We're all going to make mistakes. Colossians 3:13, really quick. Make allowance for each other's faults. And forgive some people who offend you. Okay? Just forgive some of those people. God, I wish I said that. But it says what? Anyone. Forgive anybody who offends you. Because remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must I? Yes, forgive. Let it go. Cover. Let them off the hook. Number three, you ready? Number three, never make assumptions about someone else's motive because you don't know the full story. You don't know what people are going through. People are hurting. People are coming to church hurting. People are at the supermarket hurting. People are hurting everywhere. People are suffering. They all want to look good, and we all want to appear like everything's okay, and we go to work thinking it's okay, but we don't realize that some people are in a divorce. Some people are fighting cancer. Some people are just became bankrupt. Some people lost a mom. Some people lost a dad. We're all going through something. Don't assume that someone meant to hurt you. Look at Proverbs 18:2. Fools have no interest in understanding. Don't be a fool. But instead, they only want to air their own opinions. Don't air opinions about people. Number four, process your emotions before God. I'm almost done. Come on up there. Process your emotions before God. Say, Lord, I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling sad. I'm upset. I'm hurt. Bring that to God. Say, Lord, this is what I'm feeling today. Help me to overcome how I feel. Jesus said it's impossible that offenses don't come. They will come, but when they do, they're going to throw you off. You're going to get angry, and it's okay to get angry. But the Bible says, be angry and do not sin. Right? I'm going to get angry, but Lord, I'm going to bring you that anger. Can't tell you how many times I wanted to just cancel a relationship, walk out of a relationship. I'm dealing with something personal right now. I'm saying, Lord, help me to leave it on the ground. Help me to leave that offense right there, Lord. Because I don't want it to separate us. I don't want it to come in between us, Lord. Teach me to love. So, Lord, help me to process my emotions of anger and sadness. Release them to you. Number five, remember whose opinion really matters. People will have their opinions. People will say things about you. And to be honest, I'm talking about negative criticism. I'm not talking about constructive criticism. I'm not talking about things you need to hear. I'm just talking about people just going to say what they want to say. And this is the thing you need to understand. If you give people the power to approve you, you're also going to give them the power to disapprove you. Don't place that power in anyone's hands but God's. Okay? I don't seek the approval of men. I seek the approval of God. I love hearing, good job, Pastor, but it doesn't make me, because at the same breath, they can say, Pastor, that stunk. They did it to Jesus. Peter said, I would never betray you, Jesus. There's the rooster. He betrayed Jesus. One day they're crying, and Jesus walks into the city. They're crying, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." 1 week later, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Thank God Jesus did not look to the opinion of men. He looked at the opinion of God. And this is what God thinks about you. You are loved. You are gifted. You are talented. You are smart. You are capable. You have everything you need. God is, you are a child of God. Yeah, those words hurt. And maybe sometimes if they come from a loving source, there are people that speak into my life. I allow them to because I trust them. And when they do, I need to listen because I might be coming across harsh like I did first service. Do you know that I have people that come into my office after every sermon and give me critique on it? They do. It's good for me. Those are people I love. I trust. But do you know there's a lot of people that have given their critique that I didn't ask for? I love them too. But it don't matter. Because I know whose opinion matters. Right? So when someone speaks against you, just remember whose opinion matters. I know I'm a child of God. I know I've done things right. I know I'm faithful. All right, I got to finish up. Number six. Oh, is that it? Remember whose opinion matters. Number six, stay sweet. Let God avenge you. Go to Jericho. Let God heal you. God will restore. God will repay. God will restore your life. Imagine what your life would look like if you remained unoffendable. Imagine. When those offenses come, the moment you leave this building, or maybe on the way out of the building, just imagine what it would be like if you're going to say, you know what, that bothered me, but I'm going to let it go. I'm going to leave it on the ground. What do you do when you've been offended? How do you handle offense? What happens when offense comes your way and you're tempted to get offended? Don't. Stay sweet. Stay in that sweet place. Let the Lord handle it. Let the Lord avenge you. Let the Lord restore you. Let the Lord bless you. An offended life is an unhappy life. You may think you're happier because you deleted the person. You ghosted them. You cut them off. But deep in your soul, there's unresolved conflict. This is the end of the series. My prayer is that you live with these principles, but maybe some of you need to go back to people you've cut off and say, "Forgive me. Wow. I'm sorry." Forgive me. I'm sorry. My prayer for you is that you continue to live an unoffendable life. But my prayer for this church is that we would have an unoffendable church. And the only way that could happen is if God comes into our hearts and we learn how to love the way he loved us. Can we bow our heads for a moment? Lord, my prayer.